fighting for America.
This is like playing poker with a guy who cheated you twice before. You know who does that? A moron.
Fighting for Idaho.
Well, you ever been to Idaho?
You know, it's funny you say that. Just this last autumn, I was up there on an elk hunting trip.
Did you get anything?
I did. I got the biggest elk I've ever gotten before in my life, and enjoying that on a weekly basis in our freezer.
Fighting for you.
I went and got engaged, so yeah, I kind of got a little bit of a life, but you know, not one that would be enough to ignore the Kevin Miller Show.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning. Our great friend Governor Otter with us. Governor Otter, good morning.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I got a selfish, self-indulgent question to ask you. Do you mind?
Well, is this the first time you've ever had one of those questions? No, go right ahead.
You know, I'm lobbying you, sir. I'm lobbying you. I'm on my hands and knees waiting for that Marconi proclamation.
Oh, you know,
I promise I'll be good.
That could come.
Well, I know you're making a list, so I'm trying to get on the good list.
All right. Oh, you've been on my good list for a long time.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, as someone who has served in the military, who supports the military, and wants to make sure that we have a vital national strategic interest here in Idaho, your thoughts on defending Gowan and making sure that the jobs and the mission continues on here, sir?
Well, I can tell you this. You're right. I did serve in the military, and in fact, I was a 19 Delta, which is recon. And whether it's the Marines, any ground force that has been in a firefight on the ground will tell you that probably the best platform we've ever had besides rotary gunships like the Cobra and the Lakota in some cases and even the Blackhawks, the best fixed-wing air defense supporting ground troops we've ever had has been the A-10 because they could get out on site and kind of hang around. Most of the other aircraft that we've got, Kevin, you know, they can't spend that much time on target. But the, you know, 4 or 5 hours in some cases, an A-10 can hang around. And they're tank killers. You know, they are tank killers. And so if you're fighting a ground force firefight and you're fighting armored vehicles, whether it's a tank or something similar to our Striker or anything like that. Boy, that A-10 has been the piece of equipment that the ground forces really liked and really count on. So whether you're talking to the Army or whether you're talking to the Marines, they'll tell you the A-10. So the first thing is we really wanted to do was to save that A-10. And the idea that Obama's got that he can fight everything with drones and he can fight everything from the air and you're not going to have boots on the ground, you're always going to have intelligence and you're always going to have cleanup. So you're going to have either a training group on the ground that can call in the kind of air armaments that you need in order to liquidate or at least neutralize the enemy's positions. So, but we know the A-10 platform is now going to go away, according to the Pentagon. So what we were asking for was to keep the A-10 at Gowan Field until we get another flying mission. And it doesn't have to be a fighting mission, although we like fighting missions and we're good at that. But if it's a transport mission or if it's a support mission by air of some other kind other than a fighting mission, we'd love to have it. But our facilities right here at Gowan Field, and you might recall, Kevin, when the F-35 crew came out and looked at Gowan Field and looked at Boise, we scored in the top five. In fact, I think we were number three. Boise and Gowan Field were both very high because of the assets we had, the facilities, the infrastructure. And not only that, the soft landing that they get because of the people of Idaho are so willing to defend this nation, that the philosophy and the psychology of having that kind of a mission here is great. So we're working very hard to keep that flying mission here until the A-10 comes in for another stand-up someplace. And we hope they'll stand up that mission at Downfield.
Governor, from your experience in Congress, do you think that such heavyweights as our senators, Senator McCain, rising star Ayotte of New Hampshire, could in fact convince the Pentagon that, hey, the A-10, as you've said, needs to be around because there isn't any close air support fixed-wing aircraft that does the job that the A-10 does?
Well, you would hope that they would take a look at that. Now, I agree, it's a 1970, early 70s, maybe even a late 60s platform. But you remember the F-4,
right?
And how long we had that around. That was, as I recall, that was 50, 60 years old before we decommissioned the F-4, and I happened to fly F-4s both as governor, as a congressman, backseat. All I got to do was aim it once we got to altitude. But because of our training site, you know, when you get to altitude, whether it's the A-10, the F-35, the F-15, the F-4, or even the F-18, once you get to altitude here in Idaho, you're over our target sites. You don't have to spend a lot of gas driving to get to where you're going to practice because of our Sailor Creek and our great training site out here. So we're the best bounce for the defense buck in air fighting missions.
Governor, another big issue, obviously the legislature. We had Senator Cameron on, Senator Sitaway. We're getting ready to go back to the schools. Your thoughts on the budget for education? We've got teachers, textbooks, and how to pay for them.
Well, my budget for education was more than Luna's, the one that he turned in before he was decommissioned. And before Sherry took over, and then her budget came in, maybe a little under Luna's. But my budget represents the second year effort going forward of a 5 to 6 year effort in order to accomplish all of the requests, all the ideas that the task force on education came up with. You remember the 20 recommendations they made? They had to do with getting and keeping better teachers in the classroom, or the best teachers in the classroom. We got great teachers. We got great teachers in Idaho. We just want to keep them here. So we have to increase that starting pay a little bit. And that's one of the things that I've done with the career ladder, and then also with the certification, the tiered licensure. So my budget represents the second year payment on those 20 recommendations, Kevin.
Well, it certainly is getting a lot of discussion, Governor Otter. Your thoughts on the current situation involving the Idaho Education Network and how to pay for it?
Well, let me respond first to the last statement you made. Education always gets a lot of attention because it's one of the most important things we do. We have a constitutional mandate in order to provide for a system of free, uniform, and thorough common public schools. And so it always gets a lot of attention. I would tell you this. I am really grateful that the legislature, when they started taking a look at the IEN, now you remember we had some trouble getting it stood up, and the legislature was kind of, this was several years ago, and they didn't know how valuable it was going to be. Well, if you look at the vote on that and you listen to the debate on the floor, there's no question about the value of the Idaho Education Network, and as it is to education. And education has become the anchor tenet of our backbone across the state of Idaho. We got 117 high school. We got 200 and some high schools hooked up to it. And we now have not only a backbone, but we have connection almost everywhere in Idaho, which, by the way, I will add, we are now able to probably come closer to accomplishing our constitutional requirement for that system of free, uniform, and thorough schools. Because now, Kevin, no matter where you are in Idaho, you have the opportunity to take Latin or Calculus 2 or some of the hard-to-teach or hard-to-place courses in the smaller school districts. And so if for no other reason they recognize that we're coming closer to that constitutional mandate with the Idaho Education Network, and I think it's going to work out well. I'm just so grateful to the legislature for standing up and recognizing and stating that publicly, that the Idaho Education Network is extremely valuable to our education system and to the students.
Hey, Governor, I'll see you at the Merck.
Well, just wave at me across the ditch.
I will. Take care, sir.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. There we have it. Governor Otter with us. Kay Milley in the Morning, 580KIDO, talking about the Idaho Education Network, the A-10s. And as we talked a little bit about yesterday, the mayor, with his Gowan Strong website, is putting videos together. Now, look, as the kid that was telling us about millennials yesterday, Jake Green, said, well, look, I'm one of these people that make videos and such. And we'll talk to Senator Risch about this. I would hope and pray that our elected officials are doing more than just making videos. And if you get a chance, it's still up, 580kido.com. My thoughts on how to save Gowan Field. Butch Otter is a charismatic guy. He's one of the movers and shakers in the Western Governors Association. Talk to those folks. Use his connections in Congress, his connections of being an international businessman. And we take a look at Gowan Field and the employment there and what it means. And as the governor said, look, you climb up, you're at altitude, you're ready to go. You don't have to travel 10,000 miles to train. And perhaps, you know, I was talking to somebody at work yesterday, and they said, you know, Kevin, I was a little disappointed in the Gowan Strong video. And I go, what do you mean? And they said, you know, there's somebody about somebody moving here, and they talk about the planes. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? Well, Kevin, it should be about the community, how integrated we are. And when government officials try to do things that they're not familiar with, it doesn't work. Now, what is it? Why do we love Gowan Field? Well, it creates jobs. The type of individual that works there, the military experience. Idaho, one of the most patriotic states in the union. Now, shouldn't we be embracing those qualities as opposed to making videos? And we'll get into it with Senator Risch coming up, as we did with Senator Crapo last week on saving Gowan Field. I was talking to a young man, a businessman, very astute guy. Why? Because he likes this program, really appreciates what we do. And he said, Kevin Miller, I don't know how you do it. It's so darn blankety-blank depressing sometimes. And I said to him, look, it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be that voice. And they would like people like me, people like you, people like Glenn or Sean or Alex to go away. I liken a lot of things to Star Wars. There's a famous writer, Jason Whitlock. He everything to him is that HBO series, The Wire. To me, we're in the age of the Sith and the age of the Jedis. And we are the Jedis, perhaps the last of an ancient religion that believes in morality, that believes in a strong future for American families, as opposed to let's just throw things together and be dependent on Chinese money. And to keep those values strong, we have to keep our military strong. And to do that, we need Gowan Field. That's really what it comes down to. And I think some of our folks are out of their depth. You know, if I'm somebody that doesn't like John Boehner and I voted for him, I would start making friends with John Boehner. I'd be recruiting Congressman Simpson to make John Boehner my friend. People are fired up about House of Cards. And if you don't know that, it's a Netflix series, very dark, very immoral, very, very cynical. And why is it so successful? Because it shows Washington for what a lot of us believe that it is. You know, making deals, lack of principles, saying one thing and doing another. And Mrs. Miller and I are watching House of Cards. I've seen it. She's watching. She's a big Kevin Spacey fan. And in this, you learn that your word is not your bond. And as we get ready for this big event, the Season 3 Unleashing on Friday, it's equivalent to the Super Bowl, it seems, because I'm sure you're like me. A lot of your friends, maybe even you, are going to go buy a slab of ribs in honor of Freddy's and watch the thing. And that's great entertainment. But what House of Cards teaches us is it's all about relationships. Senator Risch, the most conservative senator voted on by publication, Senator Crapo, head of the, you know, number two on finance. We have got the ability to make our case. We just need to do it. And whether you like Mike Simpson or not, INL never suffers when it comes to budget time. And perhaps we need to adopt some of his networking in the first district instead of throwing firebombs that go nowhere and not coming up with any legislation to bring back Gowan Field. Now, the governor and I got into it when we were talking about the A-10. I believe that if you have our senators with McCain, Ayotte, and others, they're going to make sure that doesn't go away because they control the purse strings. And if the A-10 doesn't go away, that mission at Gowan shouldn't go away, right? Something to think about. 621-580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up next, why the president said no to cheaper oil. It is 621. You're listening to Kevin Miller in the Morning at 580.
If people knew and understood in Idaho what they've got with Kevin Miller here at KIDO, they would all tune in.
Yes, good morning, Kevin. I love your show, by the way.
Good morning, Kevin. You have a great show. You got a great bunch of guests on.
Good morning, Kevin. You're doing fantastic.
You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Let's get it started.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, nationally, I guess Rachel Maddow was taking shots at our friend Representative Vito Barbieri. And yesterday, Representative Barbieri had a chance to set the record straight with us. If you missed it, let's share some of our comments.
You know, it's got to be about the idiot. It's not about the issue. And really, truly, the issue is that the proponents of abortion are putting the accessibility issue above the safety and health of the woman.
Of course, you won't get his side anywhere else without the snarky, swarmy comments of the liberal loon left.
You know, it's amazing, again, you know, that someone can take what they see as just total face value and not consider the what's going on here and be that easily manipulated by the media. It's amazing.
Well, there we have it. Much more of that coming up. But yesterday, the president decided to just say no. That's right, to just say no to the Keystone Pipeline. There was a lot of reaction in Washington and in Idaho, and if you missed it and you're kind of moving around and going, Kay Milley, I need to wake up. I need to wake up. I need to wake up. Well, let's see if this will get you moving out of the sack.
The reason the president will veto this legislation that has passed the Congress.
I'm directed by the President of the United States to deliver to the United States Senate a message in writing.
Is that it circumvents a longstanding administrative process.
He is choosing Washington lobbyists and special interests over the needs and desires of the American people.
For evaluating whether or not infrastructure projects like this are in the best interest of the country.
The veto message on S-1 had be considered as having been read, that it be printed in the record and spread in full upon the journal.
We got China and Russia building pipelines of their own, and here we can't even build a Keystone Pipeline. It's really kind of embarrassing.
Every one of the State Department's reports said it would be much safer, environmentally safer, and safer to humans if it would travel by pipeline versus rail or road.
All I'm going to say is the fight's not over. We're going to continue to fight for the Keystone Pipeline. In the meantime, thanks for standing with us.
I'll drink to that, John Boehner. Thank you very much. Coming up next, though, let's take a look at what Keystone means. Is it going to mean cheaper gas prices for us here in Idaho, for the entire country? Or is it just a way for those of you? And look, if you have oil stock, you're doing better than Kevin Miller. But that ain't saying much. Is it really just an excuse for the greedy, grubby, capitalistic oil companies to clean up at our expense? Let's discuss. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
And
I happened to fly F-4s both as governor and as a congressman, backseat. All I got to do was aim it once we got to altitude.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
And if you missed our interview with Governor Otter, you can always go to 580KIDO.com. Great podcasts available. Our interview yesterday with Senator Cameron about funding of textbooks, funding of the education, the current controversy involving the Idaho Education Network, all at 580KIDO.com. Check out the podcasts, the blogs, the polls, the glamour, the thrill. It's all there for you at our website. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, the president wants to take over the internet. And, you know, people are going crazy with it. The Wall Street Journal making this big to-do about it. All the folks have been talking about. But this is not a new story. You know, if you were listening last night to Sean Hannity here at 580KIDO, Sean's been talking about it. I can remember looking at that story from a national feed 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and every time we've talked about the president taking over the internet, which to me, those of you that love the internet, that have websites, I mean, what, we're going to turn the internet into Pacific Bell? Are we going to have an operator to get on the internet? I think it's a huge issue. And yet the reaction still not where it should be. Joining us now, our friend Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio, for the verdict in the murder trial of the American sniper. Joining us now, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Highly emotional yesterday, but really no shock with the verdict.
Well, Eddie Ray Ralph stared ahead with no emotion as the Erath County judge read the verdict guilty of capital murder and immediately sentenced Ralph to life in prison without parole in the 2013 shooting deaths of American sniper Chris Kyle and Kyle's friend Chad Littlefield, their families crying and holding hands as the verdict and the sentence came in. The verdict brings a close. Emotional testimony, as you mentioned, including from Chris Kyle's widow, Taya Kyle, who recalled the last time she spoke to her husband, and from closing arguments with the defense, with the state, saying that these two men, it was their compassion to help others like Ralph, a troubled man who returned from the Iraq War. And they were just trying to help him. And it was their compassion that led them to their deaths, senseless deaths. And we also heard in a victim impact statement, real briefly, outside the Erath County Court here last night from Chad Littlefield's family members and his mother, who said that they waited 2 years for God to give them the justice for their son. And as always, God has proven to be faithful.
You go back to the comments that you made here yesterday, and when Chris Kyle and the other veteran were talking about this man, and they knew that he had issues, and the idea of saying to each other, hey, you've got my six with this one, and that they were both shot in the back.
Well, Prosecutor Jane Starnes, in closing arguments yesterday, told the jury of 10 women and two men that this case was, it wasn't the American sniper trial, but it was about two men who had families and whose compassion for others overrode any hair-raising on the neck feelings that you get when you know something's wrong, that they may have had. When the defendant, as Starnes put it, let his freak flag fly on the way to Rough Creek Lodge 2 years ago, where he put 12 to 13 bullets into both of them. And it was their compassion that led them, essentially, to their deaths. And prosecutors continued to plead the insanity case. It was interesting hearing from them. They conceded, the defense conceded that there was no verdict of not guilty in this case, leaving only not guilty by reason of insanity or guilty. But, in hindsight, now that we know what the verdict is, this jury went cold. They went really cold. They stopped writing things down, and they just had blank stares in their face. So it's now apparent to me that towards the end of this trial, they had made their decision, and they were not buying the insanity case.
Any more reaction from the convicted at all? And you mentioned that briefly, Jeff, but any surprise there from his attorneys? Any facial expressions?
Nothing. Nothing from Eddie Ray Routh at all or the defense team. I think that, you know, when you wrap up a case like this and you're almost immediately called back, I mean, it took the jury less than 2 hours to come to a decision. And when it's that quick, generally it's almost guaranteed a guilty. And so I don't think it was a big surprise to them, although the defense team has said that they are going to appeal the decision.
You mentioned Chris Kyle's widow and other folks. What impressions did they make on you? Obviously very emotional in that decision last night.
Very strong. You know, we can only imagine what it's like to lose a family member like that. You know, we all go through losses in our lives and our worlds stop when that happens. But to have it done like this, in such a senseless way, and you know, this didn't have to happen. It's got to be painful. And the impressions that they made on me, Taya Kyle, and Chris Kyle's family members, and the family members of Chad Littlefield, and all of their friends, with strength. They were very strong, and you know, even defiant in some ways. Towards the end of the trial, as it was wrapping up yesterday, when the defense had their close, their turn for closing arguments, Tay Kyle actually got up and stormed out of the courtroom and whispered a few expletives toward the defense team and the defense attorney who was up. Talking about her husband and pounded her hand against the door as she walked out. She was not in the courtroom when the verdict was read. She was in the building. And, it's closure for this chapter. But certainly the pain of the loss that they must be feeling, will last a lifetime.
Jeff Manasso, great job. We appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
Jeff Manasso joining us here at 580 KIDO, and here you have these two veterans, and hearing Jeff's reporting, and we're so proud to be associated with Jeff and Rachel and all our friends from Fox News over the years here at 580 KIDO, that these folks are available to us, and we want to get some perspective. Obviously, our mission is to cover the issues here in Idaho and the Treasure Valley and, you know, some other polarizing issues. But when you hear someone who was in the courtroom, and not 30 seconds or 20 seconds, but about 6 or 7 minutes, you know, I just it just adds more depth to the story. And hearing Jeff, who we usually goof on about the Green Bay Packers, the emotion in his voice talking about Chris Kyle's widow, and yesterday where you have these two veterans who knew that this guy was a kook and had mental health issues. And let me take that back. Let me apologize for saying the word kook, because in the world we live in today, we are much more aware of the challenges of dealing with people that have mental health issues. We've become more aware of that. So here you have this troubled individual who, in fact, was looking for help, asked these two veterans to come down there. And just hearing what Jeff Manasso said to us yesterday at 580 KIDO, hey, you got my six? Now, most of us have seen that in the movies, but that's what those folks in the military, hey, you got my six? You got my six? And the cowardly act of shooting these two heroes in the back, it's amazing. I'm surprised, and Jeff alluded to it, the reason why they didn't go for the death penalty was the mental health concerns, the mental health issues there, right? But, you know, what's the lesson here? The lesson here is, you know, by the grace of God, there go I. And maybe the older we get, and you know, what do they say? Youth is wasted on the young. The older we get, the more we appreciate what we have, because we hear these stories of people that don't get a chance to say goodbye. And then you have Taya Kyle there, you know, reliving what her husband said. Hey, I'll see you tonight, honey. You know, what is our great lesson in the age of cynicism, in the age of working more and getting paid less? It's the age-old adage of appreciating what we have, whether it's our home, whether it's our family, whether it's incredible friends, right? Time for traffic now. It is 6:49.
You're Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:53, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we'll take a look at net neutrality. You know, living here in Idaho and being here at 580 KIDO, we have a lot of freedom on the old Kevin Miller show, and freedom to talk about some issues that a lot of people will not handle. That's why I appreciate you being with us. And one of them has to do with morals, morality. I was watching a TV show, and Kevin, that's all you do is watch TV. Yeah, you got that right. It was on the big channel 5 plus 1. My boy Eric, a video journalist there, does a great job. And I was watching one of their interview programs. And quite frankly, I'm so in love with this format that I believe everything in life is an imitation of talk radio. TV tries to do talk radio. The internet tries to do talk radio. And really, talk radio sometimes doesn't even do it justice. But they had somebody on from the Advocates Against Family Violence. And I believe her name was Kim. And we need to get Kim on here because she was making a statement, an educated statement, an unpopular statement, but one that was truthful. And her statement involved the movie The 50 Shades of the Grey, based on this bestseller. And I can remember when I used to work at Channel 12. Now, I don't know if they call it work if they don't pay you, but remember we used to do a commentary on Channel 12, and it was, you know, they never paid me, but it was an opportunity to do. It was supposed to be a minute commentary, and then at the height of it, I think I almost did 6 minutes of a 22-minute newscast, kind of like going to the Golden Corral and having an unlimited buffet card. But I can remember the girls in the newsroom there, and we can name them Channel 12 since they don't have a news operation anymore. And they were talking about, ooh, the 50 Shades of Grey book, ooh, it's great, and all this. And you can't really, you have to be careful that you say 50 Shades of Grey instead of 50 Shades of Gay. For some reason, you can have that slip. So I never really knew what the book was, but from what I understand, it's a movie based on the book that glamorizes sexual assault. And this young lady, Kim, from the Caldwell Advocates Against Family Violence group, was talking about how dangerous this was and how wrong a message it was to young women and young men that, in my opinion, not yours or not hers, that lack the critical thinking skills that a lot of us have been blessed to have nurtured into our system. And I couldn't understand in a world today of equality, of feminine empowerment, well, where the women really run things, that this type of movie would ever get any type of reaction where you have a man brutalizing a woman, and they have done it so well that they glamorize it. And people have had 50 Shades of Grey's party and all this. Well, this woman, Kim, was making a point, hey, it's wrong. And here's the thing that gets me. Then you have the announcer going, well, the millions of fans that have gone to see the movie disagree with her. You know, again, a snarky comment. Well, now we have a sexual assault case where we have a 19-year-old Muhammad Hassan is charged with felony aggravated criminal sexual assault. What did he do? He tried to reenact a scene from the 50 Shades of the Grey.
We were in the same English class, and I always sat next to him. He was very quiet.
Very quiet, but a movie that glamorizes, romanticizes S&M relationships. And apparently, he and this woman had been intimate, but not dating. You remember when you had to be married to be intimate? Antiquated thought, I suppose.
People who commit acts of sexual assault don't need to watch a movie in order to come up with ideas about how to be abusive.
On the other hand, I don't think that men or women should be glamorizing sexual assault in a Hollywood-made movie. Do you? Does anybody have enough guts to speak out about that besides Kim and the Advocates Against Family Violence and us? 29 in Caldwell, time for traffic now. Coming up next, the president wants your internet. We'll give you the other side of the net neutrality debate. Keep it here. Stay informed. Kevin Miller. K-I-D-O-N-F-I.